I'm aware that some people did a 10K run before they came to church this morning, so thank you very much for being there. Well done. I did not, but I know I don't need that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Why did they ask you? Sorry. Boys, help. But I appreciate you guys being here, and I know it's sort of a weird weekend with, I think, half Ironman or something. I don't know. Something was happening today that moved to yesterday to it's what? Absa 10K. And then also, apparently, we might have our first snow in South Africa for the winter 2024. Did you not know that? Apparently, like this Lesotho Mountains and coming down towards here. So anyway, I don't know why that's important. It's my way of easing in after an awkward announcement moment. I decided recently that if I were to get a tattoo, I now know what it will say. It will say, do hard things. Because that's what I realized a lot of life's journey is about. Is rising to the point of being able to do the hard things that are in front of you. And there's nothing wrong with that. Can you say amen? There's nothing wrong with that. It's part of God's plan for our lives. Well, today I want to start a new series, Conversation. Welcome to the online church. Lots of you, more than 150 more connections than normal are online. So maybe you believed the storm weather and you stayed home and you're watching the service right now with a hot chocolate in hand and your tithing envelope in the other hand. And joke, you're such a bad joke. I'm so sorry. But to all our online community around the world and also Kingfisher FM in the Mandela Bay area. Welcome to church. Will you welcome the online church? I spoke last Sunday on the topic of fullness and talked about how Jesus through the cross moves us from emptiness to fullness. Today, I want to start a three-week series that will tackle the topic of the soul's wholeness. Our team called it the whole soul. The Greek word is sozo, which has been so abused and so frightening that some of you who've heard it before in church circles are already tapping out and scrolling through Instagram. But I want you to know that word is in the Bible and New Testament at least 45 times. And it deals with how the gospel changes us from the inside out. A personal revelation for me over the last few months has been that it has not been difficult for me to die to self or to sacrifice. When it's required of me, I find that quite easy to do. I think that when God gives an instruction, I don't want to disappoint him, and I am happy to die to self. What I have found harder is to live for him. Dying can sometimes be the easy part. Stop doing that. Living can sometimes be the difficult part. Start praying. Do you see the distinction? And when you don't do that, then you only have half the gospel, the part of the crucifixion, but you don't have yet in your life the part that matters the most, the resurrection. And we are called not to live dead lives, we are called to live resurrected lives. In fact, it saddened me that I seem to be living my life waiting for the wrong thing. I seemed to be living my life with the wrong perspective. I was living in the hopes that things would change in the future instead of recognizing that I can live with the gospel hope that things have already changed and I can start living in that. Romans chapter 8 is our passage of conversation, and I'm reading it from the New King James Version. Verse 10, it says, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." This passage of scripture reminds us that although parts of us aren't eternal, that when Christ comes by a Spirit in our hearts, a much bigger reality happens, that you are eternal on the inside and everything else is temporary and doesn't matter. Amen. I said to a friend recently, I've realized at my age how important stretching is. Ah, some smiles. You got to stretch before you gym, before you get out of bed, before you walk, before you got to stretch. My uncle who is here, some of you know, had a great time, by the way. Thank you. He's never been hugged and kissed so many times. He contemplated moving to Africa just to be around you. I told him, you're going to sit in the front row. You may accidentally get baptized. He said he's fine with that. He's an atheist. We should try everything we've got. Water, oil, singing, and so whatever we can do and see how it goes. He had a great time. And I've got a few weights at home. I'm trying to get back into, you know, some sort of training. And I've got a few weights at home. And he went to one and tried to pick, you know, he just bent over. He's 75. He picked it up. Looks good for 75. I have hope. And he was pick it up. And he's like, oh, I said, don't do that. You got to stretch before you can pick something up with strength. And when I told my friend, I felt like I'd reached the point where I have to stretch. He said, no, you've reached the point where you can't get away with not stretching. And I thought about how powerful that is from our spiritual lives. There's a point in time where you can get away with not doing. But there will come a time when that stretch has gone on too long. And now the doing is a necessity and not something we can get away with any longer. Can you say amen to that? You've got to do it. And so with that in mind, I'll take you to one more passage of Scripture and then this incredible story in the Bible that you know well that demonstrates this principle and then some practical applications. To repeat the idea of the resurrection being our focus and not the crucifixion, though the crucifixion is crucial, it must land on our being resurrected with Christ. It is not the death of life that Christianity brings. It is the birth of new life that Christianity brings. Can you say amen to that? There's an old saying, oh, I hope I get it right. There's an old saying that says, those who are born twice will only die once. Those who are born twice will only die once. Those who are only born once will die twice. If you're wondering what that means, if you're born naturally and you're born again spiritually, the only death you will have is the death of the body. You are born twice, but die once. If you're born once in your natural human birth and never born again, then you face two deaths, the death of the body and the death of being separated from Christ for all eternity. Better be born twice in this life and die only once than to be born once in this life and face two deaths in the future. And I want to encourage you to step into that space. For if the, beg your pardon, 1 Corinthians 15, New International, it says this, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep, is a lovely way of saying died, in Christ are lost. If only for this life we hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been risen from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive. Our gospel story is not about things dying, but about things coming to new life. If you don't push yourself to that resurrection living, here's what that verse means about being pitied. It's saying if you spend your whole life just hoping that when you die, things will get good, then you should be pitied because you could live well in Christ from now, not waiting for a future date. Amen? It's clappable. And I want to encourage that in regards to our spiritual journey. This is well represented, the idea of wholeness. And I've titled my message today, I don't think I mentioned it, I titled my message today, How to Be in a Good Space. And I feel like I've spent 5 months trying to answer that question, how to be in a good space. And I want to talk to you about this from the perspective of a particularly powerful story in the Bible. The story of a woman healed from a medical condition she suffered with for 12 years. It's in Mark chapter 5. And I'm going to do something I really hated when preachers do. I need a little bit of volume on the monitors. Do you think I could get that? It's like so diva. But could I have? I'm so sorry. Can I have some sound? Thank you. I feel like the bodies have absorbed the sound. I feel like I'm shouting. Mark chapter 5 says this: a large crowd followed and pressed around him, Jesus, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I can touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. The translation there originally said, has made you whole. The Greek word there is sozo, the completeness of the work of God. Not just physical, but the completeness. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. What an incredible story. But incredible, not so much for the miracle of the healing of the body, but incredible for the conversation Jesus had with the woman. And that's what I want to draw your attention to. Jesus healed lots of people all over the Bible, from various physical things and various demonic things. But in this moment, there was a conversation, and the conversation healed the woman more than just in her body. And I want to tell you that your ongoing conversations with Jesus heals you in places in your life more than just a once-off miracle in one place at some point in time in your life. Can you say amen to that? Imagine the condition of the woman who has already gone through a lot, not just the physical stuff, but the disappointment with the doctors, the financial circumstances, the embarrassment and awkwardness of being that woman in the village, and that circumstance and that gossip, the suspicion and superstition of people who wonder that there's something wrong with you because you did something wrong and God is not for you, that you have some sort of curse and you're judged in some kind of way. She carried all of that weight on her soul, right? The being omitted and ignored, the being given up on, and the disappointment at not being healed or solved. The thing's getting worse rather than getting better. So she gets healed, and in a moment, her body is fixed. But what Jesus does next fixes more than her body. He stops a crowd of people who ignored the woman and said, I, the God of the universe, would like to talk to somebody in this crowd because you are seen. The woman who felt left out with no hope had the King of the universe take a moment to say, I want to hear your story, because she told him the whole story. Can I tell you, go to God and give him your whole story. Go to God and give him your whole heart. Go to God and give him your whole weakness and your whole failure and your whole hope. Hide nothing back, because he will heal you wholly when you surrender to him wholeheartedly. She could have avoided the moment and snuck away with her one miracle. But instead, she went from being a beneficiary of a miracle to a follower and disciple of Jesus in conversation with the King. And all the other things in her life got healed also. That word that I said is in the Bible 44 times, sozo, S-O-Z-O. It's a Greek word. You're welcome. I'm filling you up with language for heaven. No, I know. It's going to be Afrikaans. But there's some clapping for that. You know, I've said Jesus is Lord, no clapping. I've said, ons gaan die taal praat in die hemel, and now, and then, but here's the reality of the word. It has been diminished to mean to save you from hell, salvation, or to heal you from a sickness, healing. But in the 44 times it's mentioned in the New Testament, it means to deliver somebody from every hindrance, restraint, pit, or brokenness, and restore them to their originally intended creative design. You are saved. You are saved. It's a mistake to say, I'm saved from hell and I'm saved for heaven only. You must also say, I am saved from the way I was mistreated by my medical condition. I am saved from the conflict of my identity based on money. I am saved from that. I am healed and restored for it. I was so frustrated with the Lord over those last few months. I said, Lord, why do you put me in this context and do that thing and set me up in... I know fathers and mothers who all they want is their children to go into ministry. And I had a context in which they would rather I didn't. And you know what the Lord said? It's what you needed. I put you where you needed to be to do the hard things, to say the whole truth to me, to walk closely with me so that you can be who I created you originally to be. I choose that path. You must choose the pace with which you will walk it. So this woman faced not only a physical healing, first of all, she faced an emotional healing also. She came down trembling onto the ground, number two, emotionally. So it's on production to know where I am. She came down trembling. Her emotional status was fear, but she walked away from Jesus feeling confident, welcomed, and set free. She had a mental mindset moment. She wondered, if I approach God one more time, is it going to be a disappointment again, only to be met by a deeply gracious Savior, whose sozo action of healing over her life also settled her mind because the community saw her being received by so great a prophet and Lord as Jesus Christ. Not put aside to the back corners of the meeting, but invited to the front row. She also had a social healing or sozo. She was no longer the outcast. I'll bet she was invited to lunch that day by a lot of people. I wonder how her Facebook update status would have looked. Met a man today. Oh, you're obvious. Changed my life, huh? I'm a religious girl now. My king is Jesus. My one man is my Lord and Savior. Follow me to Father's house this Sunday. It's all going down there. Gone are the statuses of, please pray for me. I'm alone today. Gone are the status of, please follow this link to my GoFundMe account. Instead, is there stuff going on here that I don't know about? Gone is the moaning and the uncertainty and the social disconnection and the pity, and instead a confidence because a king uttered a word, not just healing, but a complete or whole healing. There are too many Christians who have partial healing, and although we have complete salvation for eternity, we have incomplete spiritual births on earth. She had a psychological moment with the Savior, where her transformation was no longer as the unseen, unwanted, and unwelcomed, but now one of the family. It's one of the most powerful things church does, you know. Church creates family. And I don't think you know how big that is until you don't have it. They came to Jesus one day and they said, your mother and brothers are outside. And Jesus said, I understand that by blood, but you know who my real mothers and brothers are? These people here are my mothers and brothers and my fathers and sisters. These who follow after Christ Jesus, the blood of Jesus in our veins is stronger than the blood of DNA from any other source. Can you say amen to that? Even a sense of financial freedom, all this hoping for a future, paying for something, that somebody would come and give her the answer to her problems without charging. How big is that? It's the only reason, just so you know, it's the only reason why I've always struggled with the offering. Now I know how important it is because you've got to honor the visitor and you've got to honor the follower. The follower needs to bring their offering. A lot of you are going to do it by EFT. Like, don't change that. If you're not sure, do both. But, sneaky. But I always worry about the visitor, the guest who I want to introduce Jesus. I never want them to feel like you can receive eternal salvation or anything else from the Lord subject to a small fee. I never want to feel like that because I think that is the church has overdone it. Overdone it. I didn't realize how bad it got out there. Not just in the church. I can't listen to secular radio anymore. It's such nonsense. Just listen to Kingfisher. It's such nonsense. I drove my family to Cape Town. Listen to some. I wasn't going to listen to gospel. I tried and they were freaked out. So I did it while they were sleeping. It was like, get in there in Jesus' name. Get in there. But I'm listening, to 5 FM, and it's like 5 seconds at sexual innuendo. Then I switch over, and it's like to Mhlobo Wenene, and it's an interview about multiple partners. And then I switch over to, Heart FM. I got 2 or 3 '80s songs that I thought were really good, and then it was like, oh, we had a part. I couldn't even remember the part. I was so drunk. I was like, change, change, change. Can we just put worship on? Can Vince just make an album and I can put it on there? So I can't deal with this nonsense. It's nonsense. And then you turn on some Christians. I'm a pastor. I'm going to tell you I'm a pastor, so I'm not ashamed of that. But like some guys, when they do the offering, it's not honest. There is no connection in the Bible between giving an offering and God performing something for you. There is no connection. That's a vending machine. They must go to a vending machine. I'm not going to finish this sermon, and Vince and Mark are already wondering why they invited me back here. So, 3 spiritual practices for living to die, not dying to live. I want to share with you 3 ideas on how to begin the journey, because we're going to take 3 weeks on this, and I'm doing a message tonight titled, How to Be a Good Soul. So I'm sticking with the theme. I'll do morning and evening for 3 weeks, and then next 2 weeks, the men will step up, and then the week after that, it's Mother's Day, and we're going to have a plan for that. But I want to talk to you about how to begin the journey of making sure you're in a good space. And by that, I mean that salvation goes deeper than just plucking you out of hell and putting you in heaven. That it also means a resurrected life here on earth. Amen. So number 1, you need a workout for the soul. You need a workout for the soul. How do I say this? I do spiritual workouts quite often, daily. What that means to me is I listen to the Bible audio. I listen to a guy whose voice just like, for me, it gets the gospel into my heart. Let me just think of his name now. Maybe David Sachet? Is that him? He used to play Poirot, detective or the other, but he's born again and he's reading the Bible into record. And I get on my treadmill. I got one at home. Thanks, Aria. I get on my treadmill and I turn the audio on, and I'm on there for an hour, not fast. I've got a little routine. I do 5 minutes of the treadmill, 5 minutes of preacher curls, 5 minutes of triceps, 25 push-ups, and then as many sit-ups as I can do, 3. And then I go back on the treadmill, and then I repeat every 5 minutes for an hour, and I just listen. That's a spiritual routine. It's also a bit of a physical workout, right? So you do spiritual workout, come to church, spiritual workout. And physical exercise, even the walk here from the parking lot, it's something, you know? It's something. What is your emotional workout? Because I think there's a disconnect there that we are investing information into the spirit, and we have different levels of physical workout, but there is a connection between those two things called the soul. And the soul holds the information from the spirit and the manifestation in the body, and it needs a workout. For example, you may have to phone someone and forgive them. You know in the spirit that forgiveness is right. And you do that workout every time you read that in scripture. But the soul needs a workout. You'll have to do it. I didn't expect any amens here. I'm just going to push through. The soul needs a stretch. It is manning up here and saying, hey, I'm sorry. I think we should have handled this a while ago. That doesn't fall into the stretching of the spirit. And it's, you know, some physical. I needed to drink water and I felt a little shaky. I've been doing this a long time. But something in the middle is my soul, which is your feelings, your aspirations, your identity, your ego. Something has to happen there that stretches it and gives it a workout. Can you say amen? I'm confident that my uncles are not listening to this message. So I can tell you a funny story at their expense. I have lived alone for 25 years or more. It was hard to have other people at my house for 4 days. Now, some of you are like, ha ha, you don't know, you need kids. I felt I had two. Let me tell you why. My uncle, it's his friend, who's a psychologist, by the way, so I thought either he needed to travel with a psychologist or they decided I needed a visit from a psychologist. I couldn't work it out. Anyway, I felt he needed to travel. But there's no rhythm to his conversations. So what I mean is a professor of primary healthcare infrastructures and systems for the EU. And he'll say, George, let's peel potatoes. We're going to make this Impala meat. Sure, start peeling. While I'm peeling, do you have nail clippers? I mean, I do, but where are we going with this? No, he's quickly going to cut his nails. Now, while we're peeling, but yeah, he feels he'd like to cut his nails. So I get the nail clipper, I wash my hands, I go back to peeling potatoes, click, 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 outside, you know, as he trims his hooves. And then, I'm not even joking. I'm not even joking. And then he was like, George, yes, unks, find your mother there. Like, I'm peeling the Impala wants to run away. You are cutting your nails. There we are, sit for daily devotion. Even now I'm finding, you know, I must find my mother. The water's boiling for the potatoes. I'm just frazzled. And that was between 8 and 8:15. This whole thing happened. I eventually said to him, I'm not going to do that. He said, why? I said, because you must finish cutting your nails. I must finish peeling these potatoes. And this Impala needs to get in the oven. Can we have some kind of order here in our lives? I said, okay. When they left and I did my devotion with the Lord, I said to him, Lord, I needed that, didn't I? He said, yep. I'm going to send you more. Stuff doesn't happen on your time. Doesn't happen your way. It doesn't always stick to your program. Welcome to the exercise stretching of the soul. Can you say amen to that? Lord, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can sozo you. Secondly, the soul needs a workstation. You know, online church, I really love you very much, and I'm amazed how many people are part of this church online. I bump into people in town, and they're like, we haven't been to the building, but we're part of the church. So I respect that. Totally, I get it. Different reasons, stages of life. I would love for you to find a way of implementing what I'm going to share now. But everyone has a gift or gifts, and your soul needs you to use them. Because you will grow the muscle mass of your soul in a way you can't do any other way. I've always been mystified by this passage of Scripture. I'll bet you most people know part B, but not part A. It says this, 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And this is the part everyone knows. For, connected to the previous verse, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I always quoted verse 7 on its own. God has not given us a spirit of fear, of power, and of a sound mind. I am not afraid of insert idea. But that verse says, you must do something with your gift and don't be afraid, because God will give you the power and the clarity of thought on how to do it when you stir it up. Do you see they connected? They're not random. The Bible is not like a buffet where you sort of pick the sweet stuff you like. It's a set course. You're going to get every meal. And one of those meals is God has given me the power and the love and the soundness of mind to get through my insecurities and my fears and anxieties, so that verse 6, our production, can I be that pastor? Could you just put verse 6 up again? Like, because we haven't seen it like a lot. We've seen 7. To stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. That's what the next verse is for. Amen? So like, yeah, don't be afraid of the dark. It applies. But what it really means more deeply is that it applies to the application of a gift. Your soul needs a workout. Your soul needs a workstation. Can you say amen to that? I mean, Pastor Mike was in the parking lot today. Can we have 5 people serving in parking next week, or 10 people serving in, you know, production? Your soul needs it. And you're going to say to me, oh, George, you know, some of the saints aren't very nice. They stretch me a bit. They don't park where we tell them. Let me tell you, the person in the car needs it, and the person giving direction needs it, and the two are sharpening one another, and both of you are getting your soul stretched, and one of you is going to survive, or... Can you say amen to that? Your soul needs a workout. Your soul needs a workstation. Number 3, production, we're almost there. Your soul needs a walk now and then. We'll wrap up with this. I've had 2 dogs, and in December I had to put the one down. I didn't want to post about it while I was on sabbatical. It was like, oh, another thing. But the little brown and white one, Goonie, had had cancer for some time, and on the skin, and it had become untenable. Leaking and smelling and sticking to furniture. I had a feeling that the time was coming. So I had a day of taking photos and spoiling and whatever. And then went to the vet and said, can we do something about it? And I knew in my heart what he was going to say. And he said, George, this dog is suffering and should not go home today. And I said, well, he's going to another home. My vet's Christian. And he said, yes, George, that's not what I mean. You know, Christians, we've got to spiritualize something to get out of the awkwardness of the conversation. And so we put Nguni down that day. So now I have one. And she seems fine now. It took a few months. She was very angry with me for not bringing back her buddy. Very. Oh, it's annoying. Anyway, after the nail clippers and the potatoes and the impala, I dug deep in storage and found a leash. And I thought, before I say something I shouldn't, go for a walk. And I walked the other one for the first time ever. You don't walk pit bulls, they walk you. And when you're my size, you just look like a man in the wind. Like, eh, there goes some guy unstable on his legs being carted through the suburbs of the city. And everyone parts ways. Come say hello now, I'm fine. Right there, chief. Right there, boss. Whew. But what I mean is that your soul needs company. Your spirit is you and Jesus, and it would be better if you forgot who was around you when you're stretching your spirit. Well, your body needs food, but your soul needs company. If anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person sozo. The Lord will raise them up, and if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Just a pause. I know that verse makes people anxious. Because people think, I used to think, that what you must confess is like personal moral sins. It's unfortunate. It's a bit of a translation. It's a big word, confess, and sins. So it's hard to interpret it. But I don't know if you know what the next verse says. I should have put it up there. You know what the next verse says? For Elijah was such a man, and when he prayed, it stopped raining. And then when he prayed again, the rains came. It's not personal moral failure that you're supposed to be confessing to one another. It's the wrestling of things in your soul. It's to sit with somebody and say, I'm just fighting with trusting God on something at the moment. Is it okay if we talk about it for a bit? And the correct response is, thank you for sharing that with me. Is it okay if we pray about it for a bit? Now, let me tell you, if you don't pray about it, you will gossip about it. I have found that people who gossip don't pray, and people who pray don't gossip. And this relationship is really important, and I was so embarrassed about it myself because I thought, I don't need anybody. I got the Lord and my pit bulls. But it needed somebody to hear and to say, hey, that's going too far. Hey, let's pray about it. I told Mel's dad, Chris Brett, I said, gosh, I've reached this point where I feel ashamed that I can't lead well. And I feel like I'm inflicting people with my company. And he took offense at that. He said, that is not a phrase that a Christian can say. In fact, we're not continuing this conversation until we pray. And what happens is you start, there's no such thing as your truth. There's the truth and your misinterpretation of the truth. No human being can interpret truth accurately. We need the King of Kings, who is the way, the life, and the truth, to tell us what truth is. And sometimes the avenue of that is through other people. The soul needs a walk with a friend to unburden some things so that you can come into wholeness and stop living in secrecy or carrying a burden alone. For does not the Bible say, carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ? How then shall I carry your burden unless I know that you are burdened? And that vulnerability brings healing. Can you say amen to that? Would you please stand with me? Thank you. Let's stand and pray together. I wonder if our online community can stay online for this part too. We are remarkably at almost 500 people watching online. I wondered if you would stay online, because I'd like to pray with you wherever you are right now, that you will agree with the Lord to a journey of spiritual and personal wholeness. And it does not mean a whole soul. It does not mean there's something wrong with me. It just means I am giving my soul a workout. I'm building muscle mass. I'm finding a workstation for my soul. And I'm finding companionship that will be good for the soul. Because those three things will get me in a good space. And the devil will try to rob you of those three things. He'll try to rob you of those three things. Make it too awkward for you to do what your soul needs you to do. Make it confrontational for you to get involved in some way. Or make you isolated so you don't think anybody cares about you. And that'll get you in a bad space. This is not impossible. With God's help, even hard things are possible. Can you say amen? Would you close your eyes for a moment? If you're not in a good space, I'd love to pray with you. And whether if you're online, maybe just send an emoji on the chat and indicate it. Just put a hand up or whatever. Just say me. Type me if you'd rather. But if you're in the room and you're not in a good space and today you feel like you got a formula from Scripture on how to do that, could you raise your hand and say, I am stepping into that today. I need to get into a good space with the Lord and I need to get into a good space with my journey. Pray for me. Would you please raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A lot of you, and it's not embarrassing. I don't want to embarrass you in any way. And I know that you might be with a partner or your kids, and it's an awkward thing to step into. But just take a step of faith. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So let's invite the Lord to lead the way. You don't need to pray it out loud, but perhaps in reflection in your heart, would you repeat this idea in your thoughts and in your heart? Lord Jesus, please lead me. Take me past just the miracle of eternal salvation, the miracle of being set free from my sins and being born again. Would you take me from born again to adulthood, to maturity, that my soul will stretch, my soul will build muscle mass, my soul, spirit, and body will work in unison, and that I'll become Christ-like. As I follow after you, help me perceive everything in my life in a new light that it is intended to tutor me and raise me up. For we are not just dead in Christ, we are also raised with Christ to new life here, now, today, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, would you give God a shout of praise and thanksgiving? And I appreciate your spending the extra time on this weekend. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for putting your hands up here and online. Have a great Sunday. See some of you tonight. Stay for coffee and come forward for prayer if you would like. God bless you, everybody.